LT, what do you think of Corpusalo?
I've always liked Elvis more than anybody. Here's the thing. He had some good things in the minor leagues. He had a little bit of a good run in the NHL. And if he was, like, available normally, you might look at him. But as a starter to replace Koskinen, the odds of Koskinen having a rebound year are, I think, fairly high. I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, all that. And I'm not saying he's going to be Mike Smith next year. But I honestly think that the play here is to go to the deadline. If they're still struggling in goal, make a deal then. I think they're a playoff team with the goaltending they have. So you're probably okay doing that. And if you're going to upgrade, I would aim higher than Corpusalo.
Are you talking about an extension for Mikko? Is that what you're suggesting on your block?
We got to get you into some kind of reading comprehension thing. It's imperative.
Well, you always talk in double talk. I'm trying to just read between the lines. You know, I don't know. I'm just trying to get clear here. Low Tide, you know, I'm just kidding about the extension. But when you look at this Oilers team and what they've done this offseason, they finished 11th overall last year. What is the main thing that has to go right or improve or whatever? What has to happen for the Oilers to move from, let's say, 11 to, you know, 7th or 8th in the NHL standings?
Well, there's two things that one, I think they're on their way to. The other, I'm not smart enough. You could tell me as opposed to me telling you. I think they've got the beginnings of a pretty darn good third line here. I'm not worried at all about the top two lines. In fact, I think with Hyman, they're going to be even better. They're going to roll when the top two lines are out there. The third line with Fogle, who I really like, great forechecking forward, has some offense, can turn over pucks, you know, at center, you either have Ryan or young McLeod. Ryan's a really good player. He's not an offensive guy, but he can play. And then on the right side, you might have Cassian or I dream of having Jesse Puljujarvi on the same line as Fogle. I think they could do real damage. We'll see if that ever happens. But up front, I think they're fine plus from a year ago, and that third line has real possibilities. Like, I mean, real possibilities. And then you're just worried about your fourth line, but it would be a big improvement. In goal, I'm honestly fine with just running with what they have. I'm not anti Duncan Keith. I think that there are some good things in his game. I think he'll come here and I think he'll surprise a lot of people who don't think he can, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time. But I would have loved to have Adam Larson as his partner.
Yes.
Now that's
mm-hmm.
gone. I'm not blaming anybody,
yeah.
But it's gone. And I've seen Cody Ceci in Ottawa where he was overwhelmed, and we saw him more recently better. I just that part of the team, I think, is open to question, and there could be some chaos there. And Strutty, you know, I've seen the Oilers when they had saloon doors defense, and it can be frustrating, and not just for the goalie. So I'm sure that they would make a move if it didn't work, and I'm sure they're pretty sure that CC can do that. But to me, that's the question mark. I think they're a playoff team. I think I don't think Seattle will get in their way. I think they're clear of the two Canadian teams, and I think California is going to, maybe LA will surprise, but they're not great. So I think it's Vegas and the Oilers, and they can afford to go to the deadline and replace the goaltender, but that right side of the defense of the second pair, I'm just not sure of.
Yeah. I'll just jump in here, Griggs, quickly. When I look at, and you're right, and I, like, everything you say makes a lot of sense, but when you look at Cody Ceci, he's not being paid like Adam Larson. Like, I think he's being in line with what he is, which is, you know, probably a bottom top four and a decent third pair D. But I wonder if they're not thinking, okay, this year it's going to be a little crazy, but they're banking or counting or hoping that Bouchard develops enough that he's able to play in that top four.
Yep. You know what?
I don't know if there's a way out, because CeCe's not going to get better. Like, no disrespect to him, but that he is where he is now in his career.
Well, but, you know, and that's why the Murray rumor is so interesting to me, because to me that would be a really good mentor. Remember when you came in and you were mentoring Chorty and those? See, I think that's a really good idea. And Bouchard is, like, with the puck on a stick, he's brilliant. But you'd like him to have a really good partner like Murray, in my opinion, because that might end up being the second pairing before you know it.
Al Mitchell joins us on Updated Sports Leader TSN 1260. Yeah, I'm I'm with you, Alan. I wrote it actually today about Larson. Like the Larson, him, and there's nothing that you can do for the GM because Adam Larson clearly just wanted a change because he didn't even test the free agent market. That's still like, I'd love in a time to wonder, like, what was it about Seattle that you were like, well, yeah, this is so good, I'm going to take it. Unless he felt like, well, if I do this, then I know Edmonton's not losing another player. Like, I don't know, I guess maybe he would have felt guilty or something, but he could have tested the free agent market, and there would have been a lot of teams. You look at Adam Larson, and you look at the defensemen in his style that were available. Lots of teams would have been interested in him. So, but he, you know, he went to Seattle, and that's fine. And so Edmonton kind of, you know, Cody Ceci could be a good player, but I think he's a downgrade on Adam Larson. Now, how much of a downgrade, we'll see. He's a downgrade in cap space too, so, you know, that's valid. So if you look at kind of the cap space number, you know, there's like a 20% maybe difference in the player. So I Evan Bouchard is a big one for me, and how a step he can take this season will be key. And really, it's more so, Al, though, it's the penalty kill overall. Because now CeCe and Keith, they both killed as many minutes as Larson did last year, right? They both have. Bear and Larson and Cuckoo was crazy in limited time, but how many shots they blocked. And shot blocking was pretty key on Edmonton's penalty kill for, as part of their success, because they've had the best save percentage in the NHL the last two seasons because on the penalty kill. I'm curious to see how that plays out, especially when you're going to add in Fogel, you're going to add in Hyman, right? Probably going to add a Derek Ryan. So there's three new penalty killers. So that could be a good thing, but with, like, that's five guys. Right, on your penalty kill, I got to think that's going to take some time to adjust.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I also think that this is golden for the skill guys who've been, you know, spending time on the PK. Leon sometimes takes face-offs. Nuge probably will be included, but maybe not at the same level. So that will give them more torque when they're on the power play or on 5-on-5, which is the big part of the game. I got to tell you, I'm if they were to go, I like Tatar. So if they were to go get Tatar, I know they don't have the money, but I think they're really close to three lines that would absolutely hammer opponents. If they had Fogel, who is a brilliant forechecker, skates really well, he's a fine player, and Puljujärvi on a line with a capable center, and I think McLeod will get there. I just don't know when, and maybe Ryan can fill it until then. That line as a third line, they're not going to get tough opposition, and they could wreak havoc. They really could. And if the puck is 200 feet from your own end, defense is suddenly a lot easier. George Laroque was brilliant at that. The puck was always in the other end. He just was. It was just, you know, you're skating around and you're basically playing on the wall 200 feet away, and you're not going to score much, but the puck is never in your end. That's what those depth lines need to do.
But Lota, let's be clear. It was never in his own end, but it was never in the middle of the ice either. It was on the wall. Like, I think, and he was smiling. I think he signed a couple autographs. I remember playing against him, and the coach is like, why are you in there hitting him? Like, he's just going to stay on the wall. Just leave him there, you know? And it was so true, but I couldn't help because it was fun. Like, I enjoyed trying to out-muscle him, which was, you know, pretty hard, but he never took it to the middle of the ice. And I remember talking to Marty Reeser and Fernando Pizzani about it, and they'd be in the middle of the ice yelling, we're open, we're open, just getting abused in front, and George would just keep it on the wall. The whole shift.
One thing about George, every once in a while he'd get it around the net and the fans would go nuts. Oh, yeah. Like the whole section I'm in, we're just screaming, he's going to get there. But in all of that, the skilled guys, Dougie Waite all those cats, you were all getting your break. You know, that's all the good stuff, you know.
But the best part is that when George came back to the bench, he'd just be tanked, right? Dead. He'd barely make the bench. And he'd look over at Fernando and Marty and say, good shift, boys. And the guys, they'd be like, good shift. I just got cross-checked by, like, Strudwick for a minute. I didn't touch the puck once. It's like, oh, my God. It was, they tell the story so well. Like, it's so
funny.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah, just classic.
Hockey player stories are the best. Them and scouts. Oh. Scouts are great, too.
Yeah. Oh, just great stuff.
Is this Gregor's show still, or did he leave?
Hey, you know what? You two's your love-hate relationship with one another. It's very cute to see you two when you get together. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt. I don't want to interrupt at all. So you kind of, I won't even get into it. But anyway, quickly, for the upcoming CFL season, it begins on Thursday, LT. The Elks, of course, kick off their season next Saturday. What's your expectations? Are we going to see sloppy play early because it's been 21 months since these guys have played games? And if so, are you expecting high scoring for the first few weeks?
Yeah, I think so, and I think there'll be lopsided games too. I honestly do. I think there's going to be whoever plays Ottawa week one, and I believe that's the Elks. I think it's going to be like just unbelievable, like 35 points before halftime. And because, you know, some teams are going to have to get their act together. They're going to have to bring in players. There's been injuries galore. So it's going to, I think the first two or three weeks are going to be a little wobbly, and then we're going to start seeing some what we would consider to be classic Canadian football. So hold on to your hat. I know that there's a lot of expectations of week one, but I think the total gap in the games will be like probably like 80 points if you add them all up, the winner to the loser. There's going to be about a 20-point gap in each of those games.
LT, have yourself a lovely weekend. We will talk to you next week.
All right, boys, be good. And, hey, Stretty, don't worry about that Giants O-line. Those guys weren't any good anyway. And the new group they got coming in from the Piggly Wiggly, they're going to be good.
Are the Eagles in the CFL this year, or are they playing in the NFL?
I can't remember. I love your show.